Thanks, Dean, for asking me to teach. It's a privilege to do so, and I always get so excited, and I am very, very excited. So I was asked to share on believing, but I was told it could be believing about whatever. So I decided to do the Christ within. So believing the Christ within and how important that is as a believer. So this whole weekend, we learned that we are in a spiritual battle and that it's spiritual things going on in this world and it's spirit versus spirit. Spirit inside of us and then the adversary and his spirits and what he has to deal with. So, good comes from God, bad comes from the adversary in the world. It's that simple. So we can go to Ephesians chapter 6, except I'm not starting with the starting verse, so it's okay. I'm going to start with my verse. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 16. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So a shield protects you, not just parts of you, but from head to toe, a shield protects you. And I learned that in the Roman times, it was like a door. It was like this huge wooden door that people would take when they were fighting against enemies, and they would soak the shield in water. So then when the enemy would shoot an arrow that was lit with fire, the fire would be quenched. That is what it means when it says, "Ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." When the adversary tries to stop you, tries to hinder you, your believing quenches it. So the shield of believing protects the whole armor that we learned about this weekend. It covers it completely. So do you see how important believing is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Glad. So I know it's easy to get talked out of the Christ in you. I'm a human. I deal with probably the same challenges you're dealing with. So I know it's easy. It's like, oh, that kind of looks cool. I'm going to do that instead of doing God's word today. And then you're messed up for the rest of the day until you decide to bring your mind back to the word. But what we need to do is follow the biggest and greatest example, and that's Jesus Christ. So how exactly did Jesus Christ handle these fiery darts? We can turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. And when the tempter, the adversary, came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the very first thing the devil tempts Jesus Christ with is his sonship. And if you go to Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God just said, "This is my beloved Son." And then the first thing the adversary does is tempt Jesus Christ and ask him, question him, if he is the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. But God just said that Jesus Christ is his Son. That's the adversary we're talking about. He will try to make us doubt who we are in Christ. Am I really more than a conqueror? Well, in Romans 8, it says you're more than a conqueror. You're a super conqueror. Can I really hear from God and minister to people? Well, you're born again. You have all nine manifestations. So yeah, you can minister. You can heal people, no matter how old you are. Can I really do all things through Christ? Well, Philippians 4 says you can. I can't do this. I'm so stupid. Well, you believed in God, so you're probably one of the smartest people in this whole entire world. I'm nothing. I'm not good enough. Well, you're God's dearly beloved. You're God's masterpiece. The adversary is here to steal, kill, and to destroy. He doesn't want you to believe God's word. He doesn't want you to believe what God has to say about you. But you have to stand. You have to stand. Just like how Jesse taught, you have to stand and you can't be wavered. So look how Jesus Christ handled it. It is written. It is written. Where is it written? Is it underneath your seat? On the ceiling? On the floor? Right there. It's actually written right there. No, it's written in the word. It's written in God's word. That's exactly where it's written. So, if we want to be able to quench the fiery darts, we have to know what God's word says about us and what God declares us to be, what God made us to be, and believe that above every single thing. So you all got a letter from Dean, right, about this youth advance? And you all believed it, right? Like, you were like, okay, these dates, we're going to be here, and there's going to be youth advance, right? Right? Okay, I'm not crazy. Okay, cool. So what about God? And I'm not trying to pick at Dean, but what about God? It was so easy for you to believe Dean and to act on that, but is it easy for you to believe God and act on that? But Jesus Christ's response was, it is written. It is written. He knew what God's word said about him, and he knew what to say because he knew God was going to work in him. So you can go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 41. Now his parents, Jesus Christ's parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. How many of you guys are 12? Can you stand up if you're 12 years old? Okay, so for everyone else that's not 12 years old, this is how old Jesus Christ was when he made God's word his own, when he stood and was asking them questions, answering that you guys can sit, and asking them questions. That's how old Jesus Christ was. He wasn't some grown man that like was like 60 years old and was like super wise. He was a child. He was a kid. But Jesus Christ had to learn who he was and what God expected from him at the age of 12. So he had to study the word. And in verse 47, it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus Christ is our greatest example. He knew what God's word said about him. He knew what God's word expected from him. So don't you think that we should get our heads into the word? Don't you think that we should know what God's word says about us, what God's word expects from us? That's really, really important. And if Jesus Christ is our greatest example, we should follow him. So read God's word, study God's word to find out who you are, what God made you to be, what you're freely given, and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. So you can go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:27. To whom God made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as believers, this is how we identify. Sons and daughters of God with Christ in. So we don't choose to be a giraffe, we don't choose to be a dog, we don't identify as bi, the opposite gender, or whatever else is getting thrown into the world. We don't choose to be flamboyant or more masculine if you're a girl, flamboyant if you're a boy. But this is how we identify. We're believers. It's Christ in. We are sons and daughters of God with Christ in. That is how we identify. That's it. You want to be different? You want to stand out? This is different. This is what makes you stand out. You want to believe the most controversial thing in the world? believe God's word and believe what God made you to be. That is the most controversial thing. That's who we are. Believing the things that God has freely given us is super, super, super important in our lives. None of the other devilish nonsense that I just talked about. No one likes to be lied to, right? Right, okay, cool. So then you're not a giraffe. So then you're not the opposite gender. So you don't like the same sex. Those are all things that come from the adversary. And the adversary is the great liar. So it doesn't come from our God. It comes from the adversary. So don't believe it. Believing what God says you are is your shield of believing. It's your armor. It's what protects you in this life. So you can go to John 14. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go on to my Father. So whosoever believes on him, they will do the same and greater works than Jesus Christ. And believing means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. So believing is an action. It's a verb. So we have to act on this believing. Ask yourself if you are confident that you can do the same things and greater that Jesus Christ did. Do you believe that? Fully believe that? Place confidence in it. You have great confidence in that. Ask yourself that. And if you don't, have some. Because if it says it in God's word, then you can do it. You all read the paperwork to sign up for this weekend, I hope. And you believed it was going to happen. So you packed your underwear, you packed your deodorant, maybe some of you, I'm not sure. You packed t-shirts, you packed your shoes. You brought everything that you needed. You acted on that believing. And that's how we're supposed to do, if that makes sense, that's what we're supposed to do with God's word. This is Jesus Christ talking here. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So you can do the same works as Jesus Christ and greater, and greater. You can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues and interpret. You can get people born again. These are things that Jesus Christ could not do, but you can do it. So we have to act up, get up, and go, and to be able to do all of these great works. So we can go to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at Peter and John. And they were people that had Christ in them. So they are just like us. They're not perfect people. They weren't perfect people at all. Tim hit on Peter and how he was not perfect. But that's exactly us. So it's a good thing to look at. So we'll start in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Do you understand that when you break a bone, you have to go to physical therapy to strengthen that bone? This guy was lame, unable to walk since he was a baby, since he was in his mother's womb. And immediately, he was able to leap, jump, walk, praise God, using his ankle bones. That, by the five senses, is impossible. That, by the five senses, should not have happened. But Peter and John believed who they were in Christ. Peter and John knew who God made them to be, what was available for them. So this man got healed because Peter and John knew who they were in Christ. And after this, obviously, Peter and John had to be thrown into the jail because they are horrible people and they healed someone and praised God. But we'll go to Acts chapter 4 and we'll read that. Well, the good part of it. And we don't have to worry about that either. We're not going to be thrown into jail for speaking God's word. So don't have to worry about that. But verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So Peter believed. He had boldness. He had boldness. In verse 10, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That's power. That's believing. And believing is great power. And that power is in you because it's God in Christ in you, the same way it was for Peter and John. So here's a pretty easy example. Isabel, you're going to school soon, right? Okay, so you're going to walk into the lunchroom, and let's say there's someone who's just looking a little sad. They're looking like a little depressed, and you think, well, it's God in Christ in me, so I can sit next to them, and I can pray for them, and speak in tongues for them, and who knows, change their whole life, save their life. That's how important your life is to this world. That doesn't just go for Isabel. That goes for each and every single one of us. Whether it's your job or whether it's school, it's God and Christ in you, and you can change someone's life. You can save their life. That is what we're facing with. It's life or death. Before you're born again, it's death. Once you're born again, it's eternal life, and that cannot be taken from you. That's how serious getting people born again is. Jesse taught about speaking God's word. That helps you stand. Well, speaking God's word, we're the only ones that know the truth. You think people in the world and people in your school know the truth? They don't know how to get born again, but you do. You do. So give it to them. Be like, hey, here, you can try it. And if you really believe it, you get eternal life and you get all these benefits. So it's really, really great. Don't be scared. Be bold. Be bold because it is a life or death situation for these people and they have no idea. So go back to John 14. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater, and greater, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And greater, that's what I was just talking about before. It was never available for Jesus Christ to get people born again. It was never available for Jesus Christ to speak in tongues. It was never available for Jesus Christ to interpret those tongues because he didn't have them. But it's available for us. It's available for us to speak in tongues. It's available for us to get people born again, to be able to pray perfectly. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God has freely given you 9 manifestations, and 2 of which were not available for Jesus Christ to have. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. So take full advantage of that. Speak in tongues daily. Speak in tongues as much as you want. You want to see signs, wonders, miracles, all these crazy things, and you have to practice doing the 9 manifestations. You have to be willing to do it. Believing is acting. Do you think that, like, one day, like, so someone's going to walk past you and be like, speak in tongues, and you're going to be like, oh, cool, now I can speak in tongues? Like, no, you just got born again. You can speak in tongues. Like, it's not like someone's going to walk past you and tell you you can do it. You can do it right when you get born again. So practice doing the 9 manifestations. Challenge yourself to do it. Put on your armor, confess what the word says about you, and confess it to yourself. Because you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for your believing. And your believing is going to take you wherever you want, whether you're going to believe what the world says about you or what God says about you. It says in Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, and that includes yourself. whether you're the oldest person here or you're the youngest person here, be bold with the manifestations. We need to start seeing ourselves the way that God sees us, the way that God made us to be. You need to believe the Christ in you, because the adversary would love nothing more but for you to not believe what God's word says. Hannah said that the adversary could have you believe anything else in the world but the word. He's okay with anything else. He's okay with absolutely anything else but the word. But the word. So stand and believe what God's word says about you. Resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee. That is a promise in God's word, and every single promise in God's word comes to pass. You can go to Romans 8. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all things, you are more than a conqueror. So in all things, you are a super conqueror. And in order to conquer something, you have to fight. And we know that this fight is spiritual. It's not flesh and blood, it's spiritual. So we need to put on our armor every single day. And do not take it off. Do not let your shield drop to the ground for 1 second because your shoe's untied. No, do not. It's spirit. So it doesn't get dirty. You don't need to wash it. It's spirit. So put it on every single day. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:12. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're in a constant battle, right? It's spirit versus spirit. It's every single day. It's every single second. So if you want to believe what the world says about you, you're not going to put your armor on. But if you want to believe what God's word says about you, you're going to put your armor on. You're going to lift up your shield. You're going to soak it in water first, obviously. And then you're going to hold it, right? That's what we are supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And thankfully, we're victorious in every single situation because we believed God and because we got born again and because God made us to be victorious in this life. So we don't really have to be like, oh, so scary. Like, we're ready for this battle and we're going to be victorious no matter what when we believe God's word, when we put on that armor. So we'll close in Ephesians 6 and we're going to read this whole part. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So quench the darts of the adversary. Quench them. Make him mad with your believing. Make him pissed off and stand. And he will run from you. He will flee. It is written, I have Christ in me. It is written, I am more than a conqueror. It is written, the works that he do, I shall do and greater. It is written, I am born again. It is written, I am a son of God with all power. So stand boldly, stand proud, because it's Christ in you. So believe it. Live it and act on it. That's all I got.